Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it's treating you good. Welcome to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Hello, hello.
And our head of production, Mr. Seth Haphacker.
Good morning.
We got the gang together and we're having some fun. We're going to get into some good things in just a little bit for you. We're going to talk about some entertainment news. I got one, if you can walk 10,000 steps in one day, you can make some money. We're going to get into that as well.
Huh?
But okay. It is a Monday morning in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means, everybody.
Tell me something good.
Welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, the segment where we talk all things kitchen, share insight into a particular topic of my choice, and attempt to make you laugh while we do so.
Hey, did we find a sponsor yet?
Almost. Ashley and I have several things in the works. More on that in the coming weeks.
Oh, good. I am relieved to hear that. We love our sponsors. As head of heads around here, aside, you might want to find a sponsor for the segment, Melissa. You might not be a bad idea.
Oh, don't worry. Your underheads have everything firmly in hand.
I'm not quite sure how I feel about that term, underheads. I'm not sure.
Well, let's move on then.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We do have a special guest with us here today. He is a valued member of our team and always holds a special position that makes him eminently qualified for the topic. I'm getting to that. A discussion on this important topic of... Would you stop that? This important topic that
Pie.
Yes. Our topic is pie. Hold on one second, listeners. James, I need a moment with you.
Yes.
I thought we agreed you were going to keep him under control.
I seem to remember that conversation. I don't know what happened.
So, what's going on? Why aren't you doing what we agreed on?
Because it's too much fun, Melissa.
James!
It really is. I'm genuinely laughing right now. In my defense, you're not here, and you can't see the absolute glee on his face every time he says the word pie.
Pie.
Okay, fine. I apologize, listeners. We're back. Seth!
Pie! I mean, yes?
I thought I would lead us in this topic of the segment today, but as a member of the Pie Council, I believe you should be the one in charge.
Why, yes. I would be honored to take over this segment. In fact, it could not go any other way. As chair of the North American Pan, of the Midwest Crust, of the Central Wisconsin Filling of the Pie Council, I would be delighted.
Excellent. Take it away. We usually start with the history.
Oh, right. Right, of course. The history. Well, the history of the pie goes back thousands of years, according to history.net.com. Historynet.com. As far back as 5 or 6,000 BC, ancient Egyptians made a rustic free-form pie known as galettes. Early pie crusts were made of ground oats, wheat, rye, or barley, and contained honey inside.
And they didn't just make sweet pies. Archaeologists found a recipe for a chicken pie that was written on a tablet in Sumer sometime before 2000 BC.
But it's the ancient Greeks who invented the pie pastry around the 5th century BC. Fat added to a water and flour mixture makes paste, hence pastry. They recognized the trade of someone who made pastries to be different from someone who was a baker.
Now, the Romans took that idea and expanded on it. According to historynet.com, they used a pastry made with flour, oil, and water to put a cover over their meats. It wasn't necessarily meant to be eaten. It actually served the purpose of preserving the juices in the meat to keep it from drying out.
As the Romans expanded and they built roads, the practice of cooking pies this way spread through Europe. They even made what we would call a cheesecake with a pastry base. It had many layers of dough and a mixture of cheese and honey inside. It was flavored with bay leaves after baking, covered in honey.
Yum. Mm-hmm. Pies were also a way to preserve food, and they were often used for traveling. Like we mentioned earlier, the crusts were not necessarily intended for eating, especially in meat pies. Crusts were often baked first to create a pot of hard-baked dough, which they then used to put the filling in before baking that. They would then put a removable top crust to keep things from drying out.
Hey, is that where the term pot pie came from?
That sure could be.
Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye, 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. When the pie was open, the birds begin to sing. Wasn't that a dainty dish to set before the king?
Ah, yes. The strange tradition in Europe of putting live birds into pie crusts to delight and entertain guests at banquets. And it wasn't just birds. There are tales of rabbits, frogs, turtles, and even people being encased in animated pies as a popular form of entertainment. Obviously for the rich only.
There is an interesting story I found on whatscookingamerica.net that happened in 1626. A famous 17th century dwarf was served in a pie to 15-year-old Queen Henrietta Maria of England. She was married to King Charles I, and they were at a banquet given in their honor by the Duke and Duchess of Buckingham. An enormous crust-covered pie was brought to the table. But before the queen could cut into it, 7-year-old Geoffrey Hudson emerged from the pie in a full suit of miniature armor. He was only 18 inches tall. He was the smallest human anyone had ever seen. The queen was enchanted and later dubbed him Lord Minimus.
Ooh.
Sir Hudson stayed with the queen for the next 18 years, serving as a trusted companion and court favorite.
Oh, is that cool? I'm glad we've progressed from that time and don't put little people inside of desserts anymore. Oh, wait, they still do that with pretty girls and large cakes for birthdays or surprise parties, don't they? Never mind. I guess we have not progressed.
That's that far. Why cake isn't as good as pie. Pie has grown.
Yes, Seth. At least for today, I will concede that pie is better. But let's talk more about what's inside of pies that you can actually eat. Meat pies were very common in Europe and other parts of the world during the 15th to the 17th century. Like we said before, the fillings cooked in a crust were highly transportable, and they could be cooked over an open fire, so you didn't need to have an oven.
This was especially useful as colonists were spreading across America in the 1700s. The recipes for pies changed as the ingredients changed. They used fruits and berries, but also incorporated North American vegetables and game with guidance from indigenous people.
Pie was more popular than bread because it didn't use as much flour. It was an easy way to stretch meager provisions because they added whatever they had to the mixture to make it last. As time went on, pies became a staple in New England households. They sometimes ate them at every meal. Heaven.
Pie for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
But pies took the brunt of the health movement during the late 19th and early 20th century. According to a blog post called Pieology, a full filling story, great title, written by Jennifer Harbister, pies received condemnation from health progressives such as Sarah Tyson Rohrer, who wrote articles for the Ladies' Home Journal such as Why I Have No Cakes and Pies on My Table and Why I Oppose Pies. She even wrote that the inside of a pie is injurious and pies and cakes are indigestible.
Take away all the joy in the world. Well, good thing we moved on from that by the mid-20th century, where manufacturers started making instant pudding mixes, canned fruit, and frozen and ready-to-make pie crusts. Now even people like Melissa can make pies at home.
Hey!
Pies have continued to grow in popularity, and there's a ton of recipes out there.
But hold on. He said I can't
make... You don't even have to make the crust now.
Yeah, but...
James, she said before that she couldn't bake pies. I don't know why she would even try to cover this topic. It's a good thing I'm here today.
Okay, that's true. I have said I struggle making pie crusts, but both of my grandmothers were experts at it. And don't tell Seth, I really love pie. Mm-hmm. All kinds of pie. I love cottage pie and shepherd's pie, fruit pies like strawberry rhubarb and blueberry. I even went through a phase where I made those no-bake pudding cream pies a lot. They're so easy. It's just a box of pudding, milk, a graham cracker crust, and a tub of whipped cream. So easy.
You know, some people would contend that a pie which is not cooked is actually not considered a pie.
Let's not split hairs here.
Yeah, that's right. No hairs in the pie.
Ugh, seriously?
You're just jealous because I haven't shared my Grandma Ruth's famous pie crust recipe with you yet. Well, you're in luck, because I'm going to break the rule I just made and share a secret family recipe with you.
The rule you just made?
Yeah, that the family recipe is secret and it shouldn't be shared with pretentious members of the Central Wisconsin filling of the Pie Council.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Shall we just get to the recipe portion already? If I could, I would knock your heads together if I just wanted a little boom.
Fine.
Fine. My mom made us a cookbook with many of our favorite family recipes in it. This one is called Mom's Pie Crust. It refers, of course, to her mom, my Grandma Ruth. It calls for 2 cups of flour, 1 cup of softened butter, and a half a cup of liquid. Now, the liquid was the secret ingredient, and Grandma called this her no-fail recipe. You crack an egg into a measuring cup and fill it with water to make a half cup. The process is to mix half the butter with the flour using a pastry blender until it's real fine. And then you add the rest of the butter and mix it to the size of peas. Add the liquid and mix until just blended. Put it in the refrigerator to cool it while you make the filling. Then you put flour on the counter and use half the dough to roll out to the size of your pie plate. The recipe will make one double pie crust, or 2 single crust pies. She had a couple of notes on the recipe. Mom said you use half as much butter as flour and half as much water as butter. She also said Grandma used lard instead of butter, but Mom liked how it tasted with the butter instead.
I approve of your recipe, mostly, but I can give you some tips on why you may have some trouble turning out a great pie crust with that method.
Do tell, because I can't ask Grandma.
Well, the first thing is your butter needs to be very cold. In fact, if it's a hot day, you may even want to chill it in the freezer for 10 to 15 minutes before you start.
Oh, okay, that's a good note.
Mixing half the butter in first until it's very fine is okay, but the second step in your recipe is great. It's important to leave larger chunks of fat in your dough to make it flaky. As the dough is baking, the fat creates steam and creates little pockets of air to create the flaky texture you want in a pie crust.
I didn't know that.
Now, the amount of water in your recipe here, I would interject a note of caution. You may not want to use the whole half cup. Water helps the gluten in the flour develop. You want to avoid this for a tender crust. You only want to add enough water so the dough holds together when you pinch a piece between your fingers. You actually want a very shaggy dough. Some people use vodka instead of water because it bakes off in the oven and reduces the amount of water in the finished crust. Your grandmother's addition of the egg does make the dough more pliable and easy to roll out, but it will make the crust more compact and not as flaky.
Vodka in a pie crust. Who knew about that? Mm-hmm.
The rest of your recipe is pretty spot on. The only other thing I would mention is after you've gently placed your dough in the pan, don't stretch it or pull it. You want to cover and chill the crust and pan in the refrigerator before baking or filling. It keeps the pie keeping its shape and the size. It's shape and size when you bake it.
Wow. You really are a pie expert. I am very sorry I ever doubted you.
All hail the chair of the North American pan of the Midwest crust of the Central Wisconsin filling of the Pie Council. Huzzah! Huzzah!
I hate you both.
You're welcome. Yeah. It's time to wrap this up. Thank you for joining us today. I don't know if we'll ever get Seth back, but join us each Monday for a fun segment that will entertain and educate you on all things kitchen. We'll have a variety of different guests joining us as we move forward with this segment, and you never know who you'll catch with us each week. So stay tuned. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Oh, that was fun. That was amazing. Can I let the audience look behind the curtain just a little bit for a second?
Sure.
Melissa does an amazing job with these week in and week out. I don't know how you kick these out like you do, Melissa, but you do such a nice job. That was easily one of the best things I have seen you write. That is,
and
that is saying something because you have written nothing bad that I've seen. I love everything about that script. I have two people here that can sing. Seth has a nice voice. Melissa has an amazing voice. You chose the one person who can't sing or carry a tune to do that one little music part. That's comedy gold. That was beautifully done. You're a great writer, Melissa.
Very good.
Nice
very
job.
Good.
Nice
well,
job.
Thank you. Way to play along, guys. Well done.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. But you listen every Monday for another segment of The Kitchen's Open. We'll come back and have some more fun in the morning show here at WFHR.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake 'em down.
I was hoping to get Melissa singing in there.
I was humming along. Yeah.
It's a classic. It's a classic. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Getting to some entertainment news now. And Vanna White might want to stay on with the Wheel of Fortune after Pat Sajak leaves, which I think is an interesting turn. I don't think a lot of people saw, no pun intended, by that interesting turn. I didn't mean to do that. But they're going to have to pay up for... You ain't getting Vanna cheap.
Nope.
Sources say Vanna currently makes $3 million a year, while Pat makes almost five times that, so she wants a huge raise.
Yeah.
As she should.
Yeah.
Pat's the host, but Vanna's not five times less important, though.
No, not at all.
I don't know that they should make the same amount, but I don't think that they shouldn't either. I would have no issue with that whatsoever. I'm a little taken back by that. Many would agree. Many would argue she's just as important. A source says, quote, while White spends the same time on set as Sajak, more actually due to hair, makeup, and wardrobe obligations, she does way more publicity for the show than Sajak. She does a lot of interviews and a lot more of those things. Quote, she's a personality, part of the show's look, feel, and let's be frank, appeal. Her enthusiasm and silly button segments with Sajak at the end of each episode are fan favorites.
Yeah. I mean, she's so integral to the show. I mean, really.
You know, not that I think anybody needs to make $3 million a year personally, but if we're talking about fairness and wages, then absolutely. Why would he get five times more?
Yeah.
She's been in the career as long as he has. In fact, I think possibly a year longer at that show.
This kind of thing comes up a lot in sports. Whenever we see somebody getting a contract and we're kind of like, well, that person doesn't deserve that contract. I always come back to how much these owners are pulling in, these billions and billions that they are pulling in. And it's hard pressed to find out the perfect income for this when it comes to any of these kind of jobs. But, I mean, you don't have to, this show didn't have to be on the air for more than five seasons to tell you what people were coming to see. Pat Sajak's great. Pat Sajak does an amazing job. You can't convince me that Wheel of Fortune is even on the air right now without Vanna White.
Without Vanna.
Yeah.
It ain't even on the air. I don't even think it would have made it five, six seasons. Vanna is not just an integral part of that show. You can make the argument she's the soul of that show. I was more nervous that she was leaving than Pat Sajak was, and I've got all the respect in the world for Pat Sajak. I really like his work. I think he's a really fun interview. If you get, especially when he has an off day and he does an interview, he does a lot of interviews with Dan Le Batard in Miami, and he lets it all hang out. Like, Pat does not hold back. This is a guy who is not worried about anything for quite some time.
Right.
I really do like him, but I maintain you can't convince me that the show would be the same without her.
Yeah,
I think they could survive him leaving. Her leaving is a different story.
Right. And something to keep in mind, the reason that the networks like game shows so much is they're cheap to put on. You don't need, I mean, basically the most expensive thing is the talent. That's the thing you're paying for. So it's not like it's going to break the bank if they were getting paid the same or close to the same amount of money. That just seems silly. Although, I'm going to give Vanna White some credit. Pat Sajak does not have a song written by Weird Al about him. She does.
She does.
She's got something on Pat for that. Yes.
Very true. I wanted to... every once in a while I have a story and I don't know where to put it. Okay. It has layers to it. This story very well could have been our featured That Ain't Right story, but it's also involves an entertainer. So I wasn't really sure where to go with this one, so we're just going to go ahead and put it in right now in the B block. Maury Povich is staying busy since retiring from his talk show last year.
Wow.
He is launching an at-home DNA paternity test company. He's working with a company to release a at-home DNA test.
Okay.
It's called "The Results Are In."
Like his catchphrase.
Oh, man.
He says, quote, "I've been around paternity testing for more than 20 years, so I know exactly what's going on and how we can help those people who are looking for fathers, fathers who are looking for children, fathers who don't think that they're fathers, and fathers who think that they're the fathers. I've seen firsthand how DNA testing can change lives and bring families together. We're making it easier and more affordable than ever before."
This has the potential to go very badly.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And the name.
The name.
I think that his theme song, he should talk with the Flatbush Zombies to see if he can borrow their song for this. The results are in.
Yeah. Nice. I'm not against a money grab because I live in America. And we're the home of that. Just take a look at the band Kiss for 5 seconds of their career. And you know exactly what we can do here with these things and stuff. I just don't see this doing well. I just don't think it's a good idea. I just don't think that it's going to sell very well. Paternity tests, this is not the joking situation.
No.
I could see if you're... I'm sorry, Melissa. Do you have some?
Well, I was just going to say, what about the potential for error?
Yeah. There's already a potential that's error with the professional ones and everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean...
Nothing's perfect. Exactly. That's the thing.
And let's be real realistic about this. This paternity tests, while there are plenty of people that use them that are married and been together for many years and are trying to have children or something, paternity tests are usually done by people that are panicking. And worried that they are pregnant. The last thing you want is a joke involved in all of this. Or maybe it is what you want. I don't know. Maybe
that's what Mary Bovich wants, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that I've been in that position as a younger man, and the last thing I was looking to do was laugh.
Or
use a product that I wasn't 100% sure of.
Yeah. That reminds me of that Simpsons joke about the how big of a fan Bart is of Krusty the Clown. I've even got the home pregnancy test.
Yeah.
And on the box it says, warning, may cause birth defects.
It's just horrible.
That's what this is like in the realm of this. Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, Murray, what? Yeah.
Well, you know, he's got to keep up content for future hosts of shows like his.
I guess so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I am very happy about this one. I was not able to get Adidas to play right now, Korn's first single, but I wanted to, in part because I didn't want to blow out the people's eardrums there early in the morning. So for people out there that are fan of Korn, the music band that popular in the late 90s and everything, you know the song Adidas. It was Korn's first big single. And many have always and Jonathan Davis of Korn, the lead singer, amazing vocalist, one of the most amazing vocalists of our generation, wears Adidas often in concerts. So it just feels like a natural fit. Korn used to wear Adidas tracksuits on stage back in the 90s, and of course their lead song, ADIDAS, which jokes that the brand letters stand for something else. The partnership was rumored back in February, but an internal Adidas document was recently leaked with images of the collection that's expected to drop in October. So it looks like Korn and Adidas are joining forces.
Oh, wow.
It'll include 2 pairs of sneakers, 2 shirts, a hoodie, and 2 tracksuits. One in black and white, and one in purple with sequins. Last month, Jonathan Davis wore a purple Adidas tracksuit with sequins during the performance at the Sick New World Festival. So maybe it was a low-key preview of the collection. Who knows?
Sounds like it.
I want to get some of this gear. I'll tell you that right now. I love it.
I'm surprised it took him this long to get together. You know, they've been doing it for a long time, you know?
Yeah. These sneakers rock.
They're pretty sweet looking.
They look pretty cool.
I'm not a shoe guy. I'm really not. But those are actually pretty cool.
Yeah. I actually like these. I didn't think I would, but I do. They actually look pretty cool. That's interesting. And we wrap up our entertainment with the Sandman, Mr. Adam Sandler. There's a teen golfer named Landon Gilmore, who obviously goes by the name Happy Gilmore.
Right, of course.
Inspired by the Adam Sandler flick of the same name. Happy recently announced on Twitter that he committed to Ball State University to play Division I golf. And Adam caught wind of it, and he gave him a shout out and said, quote, "Go get him, Happy, pulling for you."
Nice.
I just thought it was very cool that he did that. One of those ways that Adam Sandler is at the top of the list when it comes to people who interact with their fans and fans love the interacting with.
I love the picture though that they have the fact he's committed to Ball State, just Happy Gilmore on there. That's awesome.
It makes you do a double take.
It does.
Makes
wait,
you
do huh? a,
wait,
what?
Wait, no, is he going up against Shooter McGavin? Is he? What's going on here? That's pretty good. That is pretty
good. That's nice.
Well done, Mr. Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to Melissa's news now. When we come back, we have this summer quiz we're going to go over.
Okay.
Go over this summer quiz. We'll see how we
well
do.
Will we do?
Yeah. Get into that when we come back here on The Morning Show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Little Jane's Addiction to get us going here. Seth, Melissa, and James. It actually works out pretty perfect because that is a song that has always reminded me of summer.
There you go. Good summer song. Yeah.
Yeah. And we get into our summer quiz now. We have this. CNN put out a summertime quiz a little while ago, and I thought this would be kind of fun to go over. All it's right. just 10 questions. We'll go ahead and go through these randomly. And we have 1 through 10, but we'll go ahead and see where we go. We just had Memorial Day weekend a couple weeks ago. Which movie is considered to be the first summer blockbuster? The first summer blockbuster. Was it Star Wars, Jaws, Avatar, or Jurassic Park?
I'm going to go with Jaws on that
Jaws.
One.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Jaws, yeah. Okay. Correct. Released on...
Ding, ding, ding.
Released on June 20th, 1975, Jaws went on to become the first film to gross more than $100 million at the box office.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wide release. It was one of the first giant release movies of all time.
A lot of people said that that could not be done, that they would the movie industry would never hit the $100 million mark.
Yeah. It's 1975, yeah.
Let's see. Summer is peak season for amusement parks. Where was America's first roller coaster built? Was it Cleveland, Detroit, New York, or Seattle?
Was it the one in Coney Island? That's where I'm thinking of New York, so that's where my thought is.
Yeah, I think you're right, Seth.
I would lean to New York, too. So let's go ahead and click New York, and correct!
All right.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. You're right.
The first coaster in America opened on Coney Island in Brooklyn, New York in 1884. Nicely done,
How
Seth.
About that?
When the weather warms up, it's time for a cookout. How many hot dogs do Americans consume each year?
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
2 million, 2 billion, 20 million, or 20 billion?
I'd say 20 million. Mm. That's my guess. Mm.
Yeah,
I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
I'm going to go with the smaller billion number. What was it, 3 billion?
2 billion. 2 billion.
2 billion? I'm going to go with 2 billion.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and I'm going to do the 2 billion. I'm going to do the 2 billion here. And incorrect. It was 20 billion.
20 billion?
20 billion.
Yeah, we were all
so
off. Whoa.
I was still closer than you guys, though.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. Yeah.
The price is right for you. Uh-huh. Yeah.
According to estimates from National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, Americans consume as many as 20 billion hot dogs per year.
Wow.
That is crazy.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Number 4. Fireworks are a common sight in summer night sky. Which country is considered to be the birthplace of fireworks?
Oh, I know this one.
Italy, China, Japan, or Greece?
China.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I knew that one too.
I think we're all on board on that one. Yep.
And that is correct.
Right.
Most historians credit China with the invention of fireworks around 800 AD, but it was in the 1830s that Italian inventors added trace amounts of metals to the mix and created the colorful displays that dazzle us now.
That's right. Mm-hmm. A little cross-cultural stuff going on there. That's very cool.
Yeah. And now we've gone away, or we're slowly moving away from the exploding fireworks to the drone displays. Have you guys seen those yet? Where
no.
it's coordinated drone displays that create pictures in the sky. Oh, they're really cool.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, that's news to me. I did not know that.
I
have to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Summer is also state fair season. Which state fair is the largest in the U.S.? Is it the Minnesota State Fair, the Wisconsin State Fair, Iowa State Fair, or State Fair of Texas?
I'm torn.
I'm going to go with Minnesota.
You know, even though I thought Minnesota was, but Texas was
my second
one.
But then they list Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm torn. Should I be a homer? Go
be
with my
homer.
Home state, say Minnesota? Okay, we'll go with Minnesota then.
He says, looking at me, the biggest homer in history. Yeah.
All right, let's go with Minnesota then.
Minnesota
why not?
State Fair and incorrect.
Oh.
You were right before, Seth. In 2022, the State Fair of Texas welcomed more than 2.5 million visitors through its gates.
Yeah.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
It's true.
We should have known.
Watermelon is a popular summertime treat. About what percentage of a watermelon is water?
Ooh.
Hmm. Do we get a choice or do we have to guess?
90%, 75%, 80%, or 50%?
I'm going to go high. I'm going to go 90.
I'm going to go 90.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm taking you guys on this one because I got no clue. 90% is correct.
All right.
The average watermelon is about 92% water.
So
just like us.
Yeah.
So that is one of the best named fruits out there. It's literally watermelon.
Aptly named.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which does not happen very often.
No, we got weird names for things, but that one's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Memorial Day weekend is a great time to hit the beach. Which state is known as the Ocean State? Is it Florida, California, New Jersey, or Rhode Island?
I think it's Florida? No, Florida's the Sunshine State.
Mm-hmm. And New Jersey's the Garden State.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's either California or Rhode Island. I'm going to go counterintuitive.
I'm going to go with Rhode Island.
Me too. Let's go with Rhode Island.
Let's go with Rhode Island here. And Rhode Island, it is correct.
All right.
Go us.
The Ocean State is the official nickname of Rhode Island, which the state is the smallest in the union. It boasts some 400 miles of shoreline.
That's right. Oh, and I suppose California is the Golden State, right? So, that makes sense. Yep. Process of elimination, basically.
I recently have been talking with somebody over in Rhode Island about some work and everything, so I took myself out of that one. I did not know that much about Rhode Island. I've done my homework in the last couple of weeks. It's a beautiful state.
Yeah, it is.
It's a really cool-looking state.
Yeah.
But, I mean, California does have a lot more miles of coastline.
That's true.
Yeah. I think I feel like they kind of like all the names were taken and they're like, hey, Rhode Island, take this one. Drive-in movies were a popular summer pastime in the 50s and 60s. When did the first drive-in movie theater open in the U.S.?
Ooh.
Was it the 1920s, 1930s, 40s, or 50s?
It was either 20s or the 30s.
Mm.
I'm going to go, I think 1930s, I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
1930s is correct.
Oh, wow. Yeah. A lot of guessing going on here.
I know, right? I'm sweating.
Phew.
The Camden Drive-In in Camden, New Jersey opened in June of 1933. The price of admission was 25 cents for the car and 25 cents per person.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
You had to pay for the vehicle, too.
Yes, you did.
Ooh, interesting. Wow.
They get you both coming and going there.
You're driving this week. I paid last week.
Yeah.
There you go.
Which of the following is not celebrated during official summer months? National Barbecue Month, National Ice Cream Month, National Blueberry Month, or National Watermelon Month?
We should know
this
one.
I'm going to go with ice cream.
Yeah, in lieu, I think you're right, because I think I seem to remember us talking about this at some point, vaguely in the past.
Like, shouldn't this be in the summertime?
Yeah.
But people eat ice cream year-round.
Now they do.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's always in season.
National Ice Cream Month is incorrect.
Oh, wow.
May is National Barbecue Month. July is National Blueberry Month. National Ice Cream Month and National Watermelon Month.
Wow. So, how about that?
Yeah, interesting.
Got us on that one. Those rats.
Finally, which holiday is considered the unofficial end of summer in the U.S.? Is it Flag Day, Labor Day, Independence Day, or Veterans Day?
I believe it's Labor Day.
Labor Day.
Yeah, school starts. Yep.
And correct. Labor Day it is. Labor Day is a day to honor and recognize the American labor movement, and although it's not actually the last day of summer, it's often called the official end, as it marks the end of the cultural summer season and the end of this quiz.
Last long weekend.
I find it very fascinating that we have, like, how many unofficial starts of summer? But we have pretty much one end of summer. It's Labor Day, you're done. You know, even though it's the end of September when it actually ends, but, man.
It's school starting, honestly.
That's got to be part of
it.
Yep.
For summer kids, vacation. That's when summer ends.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been in school in years, and it's still, for me, the beginning and end of the summer all goes to school.
When school starts.
Year.
Yep, you're right. Mm-hmm.
We got 7 out of 10, guys.
Oh, we're pretty good with
hey,
summer then.
Yeah, that's not bad. Right.
Not bad. Not bad. That was pretty fun.
We'll take a 70%.
Yeah.
I know I graduated with that pretty much. So.
Par for the course. Par for the course.
We will take a quick commercial break and come back with more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back. In pocket. To The Morning Show here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. God, I love that song. I love that song.
Makes me think of summer.
Yeah, it's a good summer one. Yeah. We hope you're having a good start to your week out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this morning, everybody. We're going to wrap up with this segment, but we'll be back all week long, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10, right here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Of course, join us also from 3 to 4, Monday through Friday. Today, we'll have Playmakers. A big shout-out to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids, sponsoring the show. Seth and I will be tag-teaming this one today. Going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking some baseball, talking some rafters, and plenty more. Getting into that from 3 to 4, taking your calls as well, as it is a sports call-in show. So call in to the show with your sports thoughts and feelings.
Please
we
do.
We want to talk with you. And we'll give away a pair of rafter tickets today.
Hey, that? Why not? Ooh, let's do it.
Nice. Yeah,
we'll give away some rafter tickets during the show today. We're probably going to do that all season long. I'll be honest with you guys. There's not a lot of surprise in that. We are going to be giving away rafter tickets all season long, every opportunity we get.
That's right.
And of course, Tuesday through Friday, join us for Midday Magazine. Great guests lined up all week long. We're looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Got some local good stories I want to get to in a moment, but I want to touch on this one. Could be a that ain't right. Could be a good story. We'll see. A lot of people try to get in 10,000 steps a day. Some say they can hit it easily. Others end up closer to 1,000 and claim that all their steps aren't being counted because they carry their phone all day. They don't carry their phone all day or something like that.
Right.
There's a company called Gymbird that's looking to hire a, quote, chief step officer who will be paid $10,000 to take 10,000 steps in one day. It's mostly a marketing stunt, not an actual ongoing position. It's simple. You apply online, and if you're chosen, you'll spend a month training to walk 10,000 steps in one day. Once a week, you'll have to share a few social media posts, including a video blog about the experience. But but you only actually have to walk 10,000 steps in one day on the last day. They're accepting applications until July 2019th, and they say any adult can apply. But it sounds like they're looking for someone who's new to walking for exercise, because they want it to be inspiring to others.
Okay. I hear you.
But they also need to have some experience with social media, it sounds like.
Yeah. It's a little bit more than just walking, most of these are, you know.
Of course.
There's more to it, of course. Yeah.
Well,
maybe that's you. Maybe that's you.
Could be you out there.
Yeah.
I could see doing this. I could see doing that. I wouldn't mind doing
it. Sure. It'd be interesting.
Heck, you know, it's not a bad side gig for 10 Gs.
No, right? It's not. It really isn't. No.
I have done a lot worse for less. let's be honest here. Let's be real. I don't know. Doesn't seem so bad. This one, though, I think is a clear that ain't right story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a collegiate summer baseball team in Macon, Georgia that call themselves the Macon Bacon. Fun team name, and their mascot is a 7-foot slice of bacon named Kevin.
Ooh.
Kevin?
I like it.
Kevin Bacon.
I like it.
Oh, man. I don't know how we're supposed to get through the rest of this segment.
Oh, no.
Seriously.
Oh, man.
Not everyone is amused, though. An animal rights group called the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine says bacon increases cancer risk, and they're asking the team to change its name to something that's healthier.
Oh, please.
They're not going to be successful, though. The president of Macon Bacon says that they were very surprised to hear the criticism, which has also been posted on billboards in the city. He said, the Macon Bacon do not view ourselves as a glorification of unhealthy lifestyle. We pride ourselves on being a fun-natured organization focused on bringing families and communities together. He added that, quote, while they do serve a ton of bacon in the stadium, they also offer plant-based options. And as for the name, he said, we will not consider a name change, period, ever, period.
That seems pretty final. That sounds pretty final.
There is plenty of things that should be a call to bring our attention and to bring out, cancelization, if you will, for a lack of a better word, or changing, or you know, PCing something, whatever. There's plenty of stuff out there that needs this. Mm-hmm. If we pull our attention from things that actually do need it, if what happens if you cry wolf? Does anybody remember that story?
Yeah, really.
To me, this is very similar to what I was saying about PETA. When PETA does their survey, their big announcements about this many animals died, this many people died during the Holocaust, and they have to do these comparison arguments. Comparison arguments just dumb us all. That's all they ever do. It takes about as much talent as whataboutism. It takes about as much skill as that does.
Yeah, it's completely taking stuff out of context in ridiculous ways. Yeah.
And to the Physicians Committee of Responsible Medicine, for one, get a better name. Two, if this is what you wanted, you just did the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Seth and I are diehard baseball fans, and we both love minor league baseball, and both of us had no idea about this team.
Am I correct? I didn't.
Until now. So thank you to that committee, because now we have a great new team that we're rooting for and we like to watch and everything. It's just for fun.
Mm-hmm. Much like the Pit Spitters. I think that's a great name for a baseball team. The Rafters are playing them tonight. Are people upset because, you can't encourage having pits in your mouth? There's cyanide in those.
Well,
come on.
This advocacy group is also coming after some local people here. They're going after a Wisconsin sports team called the Milwaukee Milkmen.
What?
Yeah. They have an issue with that one, too.
Now milk is unhealthy, too, according to them?
I don't even
know.
I have not seen what their issue is with it, other than, not even seeing anything come up. And I'm not also seeing their website come up, so I'm not really...
they actually a thing?
Yeah,
maybe someone just invented them.
Are they just, a group to be outraged at things, which seems to happen a lot in today's society? Let's just find something else to be upset about.
You couldn't pick a worse thing to stake your claim on. Bacon?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
One of the most beloved things on the planet? Mm. Well, at least in this country. I mean, come on now. I mean, seriously? Yeah, not going to work. Not going to work.
I don't. Nobody's. You're not going to hear anybody calling against people eating healthier. But this isn't going to help. This isn't going to do that kind of thing.
Plus, that doesn't mean they're going to put down the bacon.
And the jury is still out whether bacon is good or bad. I mean, it changes every week, doesn't it? Bacon's good. No, bacon's bad. It's good.
Well, everything in moderation.
Yeah, there
that
you go.
That is the key.
There you go. Very good.
We have some local good stories we want to touch on, kicking it off, Seth.
Yes, we have a blood drive today, one of the community blood drives that takes place at the former East Junior High School Music Room. It's going from 2 to 7 today at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Appointments are encouraged, and you can call 866-566-5900. That's the Blood Center of North Central Wisconsin. And they do want to remind you, they are the primary supplier of blood to Aspirus Riverview Hospital. However, if you cannot get an appointment, walk-ins are welcome as well.
The Summer Food Service Program provides nutritious meals to children during the summer when free and reduced school lunches are typically unavailable. Free meals are available to all children 18 years of age and under. These meals are available for breakfast Monday through Friday over at Lincoln High School in Wisconsin Rapids until July 20th from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. And then at Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School in Wisconsin Rapids to July 28th from 8 to 8:30. Lunches are available at Mead Park near the Splash Pad until August 18th, 11:30 to 12:30, and at Winter Park near the shelter outside of the Aquatic Center from until August 18th from 11:30 to 12:30. Big thank you to everybody behind this one. We greatly appreciate all the work done on this.
It's an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. It is.
Want to encourage you to register for Stuff the Desk. Be sure to do that. You have until August 3rd. Go to uwswac.org. That is United Way's website. Be sure to bookmark that page. Click on the Stuff the Desk banner, and you can apply that way. Otherwise, you can call 211 Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Encourage everybody to do this, especially anybody out there in need.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get to a couple of world good stories. Like Jiffy Lube wants to make sure you can get your ice cream fixed this summer by keeping ice cream trucks on the road. They're offering $150 vouchers for free maintenance to all ice cream truck owners in the U.S.
How about that?
Wow. That's awesome.
I'm going to play this commercial really quick here.
Can you hear that? That's the iconic sound of your local ice cream truck making its way up the block. Unfortunately, the road is getting rocky for ice cream truck owners.
Because of the trucks being a little bit older, the maintenance is a big issue as well.
Jiffy Lube is helping with maintenance costs for ice cream trucks across the country. We're partnering with...
How cool is that?
That is very, very cool.
That is really cool. That is really awesome. I don't like usually mentioning businesses that don't advertise with us, but a tip of the hat to Jiffy Lube.
But to be fair, of course, we have an ice cream truck in Rapids here.
Yes.
Which, again, is there anything more summer than hearing the ice cream truck come down the street playing its songs? I ask you, Morton Kondracki.
Oh, that is true. That is so true. I don't really have anything really great with this one. I just thought it'd be a fun way for us to wrap up our show. Here is a parrot with a southern accent. This is a parrot with a southern accent.
Go cuddle. What are you doing? I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Happy birthday. Give me a kiss. I can't.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that is not bad. Maybe we can get that parrot on our West Country. Maybe we can get that.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Parrot over there. That'd be pretty good.
Perfect fit, man. Yeah. Perfect fit.
Be sure to join us every Monday through Friday. We kick off our show actually on West Country 105.5 from 7 to 8, and then we meet you back here at WFHR from 8 to 10. Both of you have a great day.
You too.
You
have
too.
A good one, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.